Well, it's a privilege to be here today. It's good that the Lord blesses us enough to give us the advantage of coming to share those things with each other that the Lord wants us to share. As I studied to come up with something that I thought might be beneficial to us today, I was reading in the parables, and I thought, well, you know, the disciples didn't understand the parables, and we do. We know it all. And then when I kept reading, I decided, well, I guess I don't know it all. Because there's something in there that, you know, if you think about it, you don't have all the answers. And I wanted to read some of that this morning to kind of introduce us to where my thoughts went. And this is in Matthew. And I'm going to go to chapter 13. Now, he'd given the parable of the sower, which we all know, and the parable of the mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds, but grows to be the greatest of all herbs, as he put it. The parable of the leaven. We add a little leaven, and it brings about great, great things. But in Matthew 13, verses 33, I want to start at. Read a little bit of this parable. Matthew 13, verse 33. Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them. In other words, the Lord used all parables. He didn't explain all things in life, but he gave them examples. That it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the fold field. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. And so he's speaking about himself, sowing the seed. The field is the world, the good seed, and the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one, the enemy that sowed them. Is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned. Gathered and burned in the fire. So shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and then them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. Then shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Well, we kind of understand that. The disciples were having trouble deciphering what was going on there, but the Lord kind of explained it to them, and so they got enough understanding to be satisfied. Then in verse 51, Jesus asked them, he said, "Have ye understood all these things?" They said unto him, "Yea, Lord. Yeah, we understood that." Then said he unto them, "Therefore, every scribe," and by scribe this means every scholar, everybody that's learning, "which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven, is like unto a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence." But he didn't explain that. And when I read that, a householder that bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. I thought that was just at weddings. Something new, something old, something borrowed, something blue. That type of thing. But what's the Lord talking about here? Things that are new and old. All in the same breath. And then he left. It's like, you kind of left me hanging here, Lord. What are you talking about? Well, did you speak of how God never changes? He's the same today and forever. He's always been the same. Or did he mean the Old Testament and the New Testament, which he gave to us? Different rules, but still pertaining. I want to turn over to John chapter 4. Read a little bit here. 4th chapter of John. And I'll read 35 through 38. In the words of Christ. "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look upon the fields, for they are white, already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor, other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors." So here you know, when you think about the ministry, you think about those pioneers that started back in the 1800s, and even in the 1900s, we knew many of the older ministry that went into foreign lands and started doing ministry there in times when it was dirt trails that they traveled, and they didn't have a whole lot of luxury. But they started planting seeds out there. And then today we get in an airplane, we take a couple hours, fly there, visit with the people who have found these seeds, and it grew, and they're curious, and some of them are members of the church and some aren't, but they want to hear more. They want to partake a little more in what they know and find the truth. And so today we we start to harvest things that were introduced years ago. And that is kind of what that Christ was speaking of. Something old, but it's also something new. I'm going to go back to Matthew chapter 20. In chapter 20, the Lord came up with a parable of the workers. I'm going to read a little bit of that. It says, this is verse 1, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in their marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? And they said unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto the last, even as unto thee. It is not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own. Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many he called, but few he's chosen. So here we see the last and the first again. You know, sometimes in life you might run across something like this, where people are hired to do a job and then they see somebody else that they think is, oh, he's got it pretty cushiony. And then they're mad because they didn't get a cushiony job. I run into that when Kathy and I were first married, and we were strapped for money, and they started advertising on the radio that there was a railroad derailment and they needed people to come and clean up the mess. A lot of handwork, sacks of potatoes, things like that, you know, boxcars full. And so I went and I said, yeah, I'll do it. I mean, you're working for the railroad, that's a lot of money, right? But there was no agreement on how much money it was. And so I and several other guys, we worked all day long. I mean, we were dead tired. We'd loaded several railroad cars into semi-trucks and flatbeds to haul this food away. And it was heavy work. Some of them couldn't do it. They couldn't take the work. It was just too hard. And they broke down and they had to quit after a half day. But the stronger ones were able to work all day. And then in the evening, we lined up at this little temporary desk they'd set outside. Come and get your money, and we'll let you go. You know what they paid? The Union Pacific, that pays so well and has all these benefits, paid us minimum wage. Some of the people got so mad that they were violent, because the talk around had been, oh, this is going to pay good, because the railroad really needs us to do this. But there was no agreement. And I was glad to get what little pay I got, because it was more than what I had the day before. And I went home at peace with myself. And a lot of them went home angry and cussing and making threats. And I thought, you know, they agreed to do this work. And they made assumptions. Nobody told them what they were going to get paid. They avoided that. Well, how is it in the ministry that some of those that went out and labored early spent their entire lives sowing seeds and answering questions and trying to get people interested in the truth, and then they never got to see the end of it? But then in modern days here, these people are, their generations have grown, and members of the church are more, and you get the younger ministry that goes down there, and there's all these people. I don't know how many they have in Yucatan now. It's quite a few. And who ever heard of Yucatan in the 1800s? But the people made it down there. They started it in the Philippines, all over the world. We're even working today in places where it's forbidden. And it becomes a threat to those that are out there planting the seed, because the countries don't want them there. But they harvest the things that were planted so many years ago. And is that fair? Is it fair that they can just go out and greet these people that are so anxious to visit with them and to learn and to know more about what has been taught? The Lord says that's fair. They may be out there because the harvest is ready, but they have their purpose. So why would you fight? Why would you be angry? Because your job has been fulfilled. The things that you are called to do, you've done, and you will receive your pay. You say, well, it's not enough. What do you want? Do you want more? Do you think you're worth more than those ancient ones that received basically nothing? Maybe enough to buy some gas or to travel, but had to depend on the graciousness of people as they traveled to even have a place to lay their head or to have a meal? How would we like to go and do that? Well, that's unheard of. That's not going to happen. No. Now you have to pay me. I have bills. I have things I have to do. The old versus the new. It spoke here of the householder that hired all these people. Well, when Christ spoke of the householder that pulled out the old and the new, who was the householder? Well, right here it told us it must be Christ because we're doing a work for him. Kind of helps in the understanding of the old and the new. Yeah. A little bit. So what kind of a minister was Christ? How much did he get paid? What did he do? Well, there in verse 28 of the 20th chapter of Matthew, it says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Christ didn't come here to get paid. He came here that he might give for others. Wasn't any anger in that, was there? Wasn't any, I deserve more. I gave everything. So how come I'm not receiving so much more? I want to go to 1 Peter chapter 2. I thought Russell was going to read this morning. He came close. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 24. For For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judged righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Christ gave the ultimate sacrifice for our sakes. He bears our burdens. That's what Christ did. That was his payment. Just trying to help somebody else. That was payment enough. I want to go back to Galatians, just a couple chapters back. Galatians chapter 6. This will be the last chapter in that book of Galatians. And verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. I can relate that directly to all of us that have been volunteers. It's not very often you get a pat on the back when you're a volunteer. You might have to give your life when you're a volunteer fireman, because you never know what you're going to walk into. You know you're there to help, and that's what you're committed to. Not very many people, when they call 911, have their neighbor from next door come over and say, "What's the problem here?" It just doesn't happen. They just assume that you're part of an elite group of people that have been well trained, and you don't expect us to thank you for something you're trained to do you? For us to be gracious to you? A lot of them don't want you there, but somebody else had called 911. And so you have to respond. But when you get there, they say, "What are you doing here?" "Well, we got a 911 call that there were some problems here." "I didn't call you." "Well, is there somebody hurt here?" "No, there's nobody here that needs any help." And you look at somebody sitting in a chair over there all bloody and say, "Well, let me stick around for a little bit. I've got some friends coming. We want to just make sure everything's okay." My best friends were the sheriff's office. When those boys would walk in, boy, things changed. When they'd come in with their guns and their badges and a show of force, things turned around in a hurry. And it was good to have. But in this case, when you're walking into the world, your best backup is to have the Lord with you. Because things change in a hurry, whether it's you trying to do it or if it's the Lord. working with you. So he bears our burdens. He helps us to do our job. Because if it's up to us, we're going to fail. We're going to fail every time. You know, people think, well, you're in the ministry, you've got it made. You don't have the problem I have. Well, we're all flesh and blood. We all have problems. We all have burdens. And yes, we have to depend on somebody else to help us out. It never fails. Because we're not perfect. And if we try to do it ourselves, we're going to fail. We have to use the Lord to share that burden. And so the Lord's work still goes on, even though he has gone back to his Father. He still walks with us. He helps us through the misery of life. He helps us through the misery of death, because he's always there with us. He never leaves. And he said, I never will. As long as you love me, I will never leave you. So he bears our burdens. He helps us through times of crisis. And we should be thankful to him for it. I want to go back to Ephesians. Read a little bit there. Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm going to start on verse 21 of chapter 4. So that be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. You know, the only way that we're going to even approach anything like perfection is by forgiving others and asking for forgiveness. In other words, repent, repent, repent. That's the only way we are going to be perfect. Somebody has to erase the things that are not perfect in our life. And we know that only the Lord can do that. And so then we put on a new man. We put on a new way of thinking. And we're kind one to another instead of finding fault. Instead of saying, well, I'm worth more than that, we say, look what I got. Look what I have. Someone said thank you. That's pay enough. I'm going to close in the book of John. I'm going to go to chapter 10 in the book of John. And I want verses 3 through 16, chapter 10. Words of Christ, verse 3. To him, the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he called his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And his stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, I say unto thee, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. You know, when we go through the miseries of things being flesh and blood, it gets hard. But if we follow after Christ and listen to his voice, he makes that yoke a whole lot easier to carry. He leads the sheep that he has out of danger. He keeps them in the straight and narrow path, which leads home, so that they can live in comfort. They can live in grace and hope and joy. That's where he takes us when we follow him. So when I go back and read through the parables, and the Lord says, did you understand what I said? Hopefully we could say, yes. Yes, we understand. You will take the old and make it new as long as we walk with you.